everyone. Welcome to Do You Even Lift, Bro? A podcast about home gyms, DIY, lifting, and life. I'm Kyle with my buddy Meat Pepper Stick.
Meat Pepper Stick coming in hot.
We haven't chatted in a while, so we're just going to shoot the breeze a little bit. We got a ton of questions from people, so we're going to tackle those questions, and we'll see where it goes. We'll see where this stream takes us. You know what I'm saying?
I'm ready. I'm ready, Kyle. Nice to see your face. I'm excited. Yep. You are right. We have 3 pages of questions. Heck yeah.
All right. So you want to just jump right in?
Yeah, man. I say go for it.
So earlier this week, I posed the question on my Instagram story saying, Matt and I are going to record. Do you have any questions for us? And I was totally intending for this to be like, we'd probably get like 5 or 6 questions. Mm-hmm. Normally, we don't get a whole lot. So we were going to do a whole episode where we're just chatting and talking about all the news and stuff going on. And then the last, you know, maybe 10 minutes would be answering questions. But we got so many questions. I feel like we probably should dedicate this entire episode to it. And hopefully we can get through all these questions in, you know, 30 minutes. So we'll see how it goes. And I'm not going to read their names because that's a lot. But okay, first one I have on my list. What piece of home gym equipment would you recommend as a first upgrade over the basics? Like, if I have everything, but I have cheap versions of everything, what should be the first thing I really like spend some money on?
If you're going to structure it like that, like let's say you bought everything, you've bought the cheap version of everything, and then you're going to upgrade. I mean, the rack to me is the most obvious, but I mean, it's like, I don't know. I mean, if you got cheap barbells, I like a nice barbell too. So weight plates, I feel like you can stick with cheap weight plates for a good minute. So that would be my 2 picks, rack, barbell.
So when I think of your answer, I'm picturing Adam Pittman, who's sticking with his 2x2 for life, where, you know, like when he's considering upgrading, he's like, I could get a 3x3. I'm going to pay, you know, $1,500 to $2,000 for it.
Yeah.
And with that, I'll be able to do the same stuff. So my question would be like, how good is your bench? What kind of bench do you have? Because a cheap, flimsy, crappy flat bench kind of sucks to use. And there's not a whole lot of variety you can do with it. So I'd look into like the Rep AB4100 or something like that, where it's like, it's not super expensive, but it's got all those incline positions and it is sturdy. It is comfortable. So that's something I would look at if I was in that position.
Right, right. I guess I've never had a, not to like brag or whatever, but when I first got my home gym, I kind of went big on the bench, I guess. I just got lucky. A dude just happened to have like a commercial bench he was selling. It's like 50 bucks or something. So I can understand the mentality of having like maybe a cat bench or something, Amazon Basics or something, and they'd be like flimsy. And yeah, totally upgrade that. So,
but, I bought and sold a lot of cheap benches like during my flipping days. So like, I definitely see how crappy they can get
I'm sure.
You know, I mean, flimsy, rickety, you know, you don't really want to be pressing a lot of weight under a bench that is moving a lot. So that would, I don't know, that would be my first upgrade. That was one of the things that I first dropped, like for me at the time seemed like a good amount of money, is like I got the Rogue flat bench, like the $200, not really that much money, but like you know, going from like $10, $20, $30 used benches to like a $200 bench, it was like a big upgrade.
Now I can see that.
Okay, next one. Can I get the Rogue trolley without the lever arms?
No, that's a question for Rogue. So Rogue used to sell their lever arms without the trolley system. Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah. You would buy the lever arm and it was like a fixed thing. They used to sell it and they don't anymore. Now it's the trolley and it makes sense. Like, why would you want to fix? That's a pain in the balls. So I'm sure if you talk to the right dude at Rogue, he would probably sell you the trolley system as long as they've got extras and it's not taken away from a complete system. So, but it's really a question for them.
I would also just say like scour the used marketplace too. Like it doesn't hurt. Mm-hmm. Some people will, you know, you might be able to get a pair of used trolley arms for the price that you would buy new trolleys from Rogue. So it might be worth looking into that route. But I mean, the answer is you probably can, but it's going to take some work. Next one. How would you do a DIY GHD with wood? It's really hard to demonstrate this on an audio podcast.
So you're going to take a 2x4, right? And you're going
to... Yeah. Yeah. You're going to buy some GHD pads from somebody and you're going to put those on the wood and then you're going to do some other screwing and nailing. And
I would take this question as to, is it plausible? Like, is it something maybe worth considering doing? I would like to see someone do it. I know you've probably shared multiple times. I just, I know I had I had the Rogue GHD. That thing was solid. It was a freaking tank. I felt good with the movements you're doing. When you're leaning back, you want to be 100% sure this thing ain't snapping and going to kill you. Right. You know? So yeah. That's my take on it. If it were to, can it be done? Are you sure? How safe is it? I don't know. It depends on how they do
it. So I have, you're right. I've posted several of them. I've seen them. Mm-hmm. I've never actually used one. And the biggest question I usually get and biggest question I have is like, where do you find the pads? Because without those specific pads, like if you're trying to DIY the pads and everything, right, bro. Like that's not going to happen. So you would need to purchase the pads and then the basic frame should be easy enough to figure out.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. Do you trust your spouse with an equipment-related Christmas present, or you buy your own?
Now, as far as trusting my wife to purchase something that I ask her, like a barbell or whatever, I've got to be a little more specific. I can't just say, hey, buy me a barbell and just hope that she's going to get what I want.
Yeah.
Looking at this question, I know this isn't the question that we're asking. I thought a more interesting question would be, you know, like, do you trust your wife in general with your equipment? You know what I mean? Or like, you know what, like, cause I bought my wife, I say this cause I just got my wife a barbell of her own and she's been wanting one for a minute. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to do that because she will bang the absolute piss out of my barbells and I don't want her doing that. So I would rather gift her one for Christmas and said, hey, you know, if you put a dent or a ding in it or whatever, but anyways, that's not the question. But yeah, what's your answer, Kyle?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, I can't just be like, hey, give me something cool for the gym because she has no idea what I like to do in the gym and she doesn't work out. So that would be like her telling me, hey, get me a cool outfit. I'd be like, what? No idea. You already have a closet full of outfits, man.
You could throw together a mean outfit. I'm sure of it.
Like, do you like tie-dye shirts with snakes and tigers?
I was going to say, here's a rattlesnake scarf for you, you know?
Yeah, but if I specifically say, like, for my birthday, I was like, I want the stainless steel Rogue Ohio Power Bar. Uh-huh. If you're going to get me anything, get me that. And that's, she got one. It. So specific, right. I trust her. Non-specific, I don't even think she would try. Okay. What is the goat Christmas cookie?
It is a snickerdoodle. Is that a Christmas cookie? I don't know. I don't eat a lot of cookies. I'm a big fan of chocolate chip, if anything, but these are boring.
Yeah. Personally, I don't eat cookies. Occasionally, maybe like once or twice a year.
Yeah.
There's a bakery in downtown Indianapolis that sells these, it's like the oatmeal cream pie. And so I'll do one of those, like two oatmeal cookies with cream in between.
Nice.
But it's not really a Christmas thing. And I just don't eat that many sweets in general. Okay. Favorite holiday food.
For me, I don't know if this sausage balls, dude, like holiday season. I'm serious. It's weird. Holiday season. Like, we start making a lot of sausage balls. I eat a lot of them, like Christmas, New Year's. I crave them. I love them. And there's so many different varieties. You can use like the mild sausage or the hot sausage. You can swap it up. You can use Italian sausage and then use, like, it's almost like a pizza dog or something, or a pizza ball or what. I don't know. Yeah. There's so many different. How about you?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for this one.
Come on. Turkey, ham, goose.
Not really into those.
You don't like ham or turkey? Turkey, I mean, I can understand, but ham?
I eat it, but I'm not like, ooh, can't wait till I eat Christmas turkey or Christmas ham. I just like, if I want them, I don't wait till Christmas to eat them, you know? Like, so I don't know. I can't think of like a specific thing during the holidays that like is my favorite.
There you go.
So yeah, no answer for that one. Sorry. Okay. Any DIY projects you regret?
I'm not dead yet, so no, I don't have any regrets about anything that I built.
That's freaky, man. Yeah, the one where I lost this finger. Just kidding.
I haven't, you're more of the DIY dude, like the riggings and stuff I've done. I mean, I've regretted like wasting time on some that didn't like, they, I couldn't execute them quite as nice as I thought I could, you know, in my mind or whatever. But
yeah,
other than that, yeah, I've never gotten hurt on anything, I guess, or thought, man, that was a complete waste of time. I regret that. So,
right. Yeah. I haven't posted any of my DIY projects that I regretted. Otherwise, like, what's the point?
You should.
Like, hey guys, check out this thing that sucks. I wouldn't make it if I was you. I mean, the power rack, I was basically like, don't do it unless you have to.
Right.
But I still don't regret it. I think it's badass. It's just winter time and I don't use it now. But it was still like a fun learning experience and everything. Mm-hmm. So not really. I mean, I don't know. I've got like a pile full of projects that I started and didn't finish. Like a tib, what's it called? The tib,
tib raises or whatever. Yeah.
Tib raises.
Yeah.
So I have like a, you know, a tib raise bar that I started and didn't finish. I have like dumbbell spotters that I started and didn't finish because I couldn't figure them out. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't necessarily say I regret them because everyone is a learning experience and, you know, eventually like I'll get back to them and figure them out. But yeah, I would say if there was one that caused major injury, I would regret it. But so far so good. Knock on wood.
Golly, you got so much wood over there.
Dude, I got all the wood. Okay, you want to take over asking these questions?
Yeah, one of them was your favorite YouTube content to consume that isn't home gym related. What do you got over there?
I generally watch YouTube to learn stuff. So like if I'm working on a project where I need to do upholstery and I haven't done upholstery before, I'll look up an upholstery video and figure out how to do it so I can show people how to do it. I've done that a lot with like different types of joinery and different techniques that I've used. I'll just brush up on it real quick and then post a video like I'm a pro at doing this thing that I just learned how to do. But I don't do YouTube for like personal entertainment, no.
Gotcha. Yeah. So I'm with you. If it's something like a quick learn or whatever, I need to figure something out, obviously YouTube's the go-to. As far as regularly consuming content, I do a lot of like videography, photography channels. Like I like to watch, see what they come up with, get ideas, different skills and stuff. That's just, you know what I mean? It kind of goes hand in hand with me with what I do. So I'd say I probably regularly consume that about as much as I do gym content. Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
So cool. DIY equipment with the best return on investment in your personal opinion, belt squat, seal row, et cetera. Like, what do you got?
Probably like some sort of, pulley system. Dang, I honestly, I didn't even look at these questions before answering. Let me formulate my thoughts.
Well, while you're answering or while you're thinking, I would, the pulley was going to be my go-to as well. There are so many different things you can do with a pulley and it's so easy to DIY between high and low, like mid, rigging it up, belt squatting. I mean, you do everything with it, cable work all the way. So that would be my answer.
So what I would say is that I generally don't do a DIY unless it has multiple functions because I see it as a waste of space if it can only do one thing. So everything that I've done lately, at least, is like multiple functionality. I really like the T-bar row platform that I made because it's great for belt squats if you, you know, combine them with a barbell and a landmine. I really, really love my permanent belt squat setup that I made with my Titan wall mounted pulley tower. Like I literally still use that all the freaking time. It's so easy, takes up very little space, super comfortable. That is a one trick pony, but it does that one trick really well. So that's like fair. I recently did some, and I borrowed the idea off of Nice Like Mike, but the little triangles with pegs that go on the sides of the rack that hold change plates. Man, it is so convenient having tens, fives, and two and a halves just right there to put on the bar. I did one side, and then I was like, man, this is so awesome. I got to have it on both sides. So now I do, and that's really cool. So that is another thing. Like, it only does one thing, but it was also like, if I wasn't shooting the whole process and editing everything, probably 20 minutes of my time, and like, it's a great solution. So I didn't really answer that question, but, you know, those are some of my favorites that, in my opinion, were worth the time investment.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a good answer. Okay, essential DIY tools. Then they ask, do I need a drill press?
It depends how deep you want to go with this, but I would say a miter saw, number one, because Like I was just talking about those triangle weight plate holders, like somebody commented, yeah, it's easy if you have a $1,000 woodworking workshop or whatever. And so I was like, oh yeah, punk, I'll show you how to do it with the jigsaw. So much easier with a miter saw than a jigsaw, like the angles and everything. And you can get a decent miter saw for like $100. So like definitely worth getting. Drill press too. Like you can get drill presses for pretty cheap.
And you can. Those tabletop presses. Absolutely. Right.
And they're small. They don't take up a lot of space. They're powerful enough to like do some of the basic stuff that you would need to do. And I use my drill press probably just as often as I use the miter saw. In that video, I used a cordless drill and a Forstner bit. You can do it that way and that's fine. But if you have like $100, $150 and you're looking for another essential tool, definitely drill press, man.
I was going to say, I'm not really an advocate for like Harbor Freight in general. I kind of view them as the Titan Fitness of the tool world. But they do have some gems there and their stuff is going to work, especially for stuff like this right here. So it's like you can definitely build up a nice little artillery of tools, I guess you could say, for pretty cheap going that route. And then you same idea, you can always upgrade later.
So. Right, I was going to say that. Yeah, it's like building a home gym where you sort of dip your toes in it, gauge interest. If you like it, you invest a little bit more money into it.
Exactly,
you start upgrading those tools. They're easy to sell in the used marketplace, just like used weight equipment. And so you can sort of work your way up. Yeah, good call.
I see that.
I have a table saw. I hardly ever use it. I know you recently got rid of your table saw. So
such a space hog, man. I love it.
Ooh. And what happens is like stuff gets piled on top of it. And then it becomes a table that is really big and in the way. I have wanted to use it for so many projects.
Didn't want to move everything.
But I don't want to move everything. So I'm doing these like sketchy, like sliding miter saw cuts that should be rips on the table saw.
Right.
But yeah, that's a pain. So I wouldn't have table saw high on my list unless you have like a big space and you're not going to put a bunch of stuff on it.
Yeah. No, that's, I do plan on getting a foldable table saw in the future, but it's kind of like one of those, it's pretty low on the list, but it would be nice. Yeah. Definitely. As opposed to what I had, the big, just standalone, always ready for him. So, how sturdy, I don't know if you have any experience, how sturdy are foldable or how sturdy are folding racks?
I feel like this is a difficult question to ask because it's so vague. If it was like, how sturdy are PRX folding racks? How sturdy are the Rogue folding racks or the Titan folding racks? It's like, there's a lot of variety in there. And I'm sure if you go on Amazon and look for folding racks, you're going to find a slew of like really cheap, probably imported, not super well-made folding racks that are not going to be very sturdy versus like the Rogue and the PRX and the companies that are known for it. I'd say it depends on where you're buying from.
Yep, that'd be my mind always. Like, I always feel like anything that is collapsible or foldable is not going to be as sturdy as like a full on welded unit or maybe a bolted together, like non moving parts. But that's not really the case, too, because there are some things that are collapsible and foldable and they're super freaking solid. So, I don't know.
Okay.
Wall mounted folding GHC?
Yes.
Next question.
No, I have never made one, but our good buddy, Man Who Parks in Gym, has made a rack-mounted folding GHD. It's awesome. Go check out his page because that will serve as some good inspiration for you if you want to make one.
All right, let's see here. Do you got any good hacks? Do you have any good hacks for setting up Do you have any good hacks for setting up glute bridges, hip thrusters?
I do. I have a really, really good one. And it was so good. So good. It's actually going to be a product. So I can't talk about it. But
tell me more.
Release date is going to be happening shortly. And I can't talk about who it's with or what's going on. But stay tuned for that.
Nice. Real nice. Mm-hmm. You SOB. All right. How much of a boost do holiday sales give your affiliate commissions? Okay. So
you
this
have to
is a
actually
very...
ask it though. You can't just be
that's
like,
what I'm, that's no, that's what I'm doing. So this question is a very specific question related to something that me and you don't really talk about too much. It's about affiliate commissions and whatnot. How much of a boost do holiday sales give your affiliate commissions? So I don't know how big into the affiliate side of everything you are, but I know me personally, the holiday season is when everyone seems to be buying things, whether it's gifts or they're running sales. And so they're really pushing and everyone's buying, buying, buying. So I definitely see a boost. I mean, it's like anything else. It's just, it's up and then it drops right after the holiday season.
So for me, I still haven't quite figured out the right way to push affiliates onto my followers, and I try not to be pushy with it, so I probably don't take advantage of it as much as I should, so I don't see that much of a boost either. This is only my second holiday season since I really started doing this thing anyway, and last year I didn't. This year I'm not really doing it because... It's just not my jam. I don't want to come off like super salesy or whatever. So if it can happen organically and I can suggest a product that I genuinely like, I do. But I don't want to come across as like somebody who's just trying to push everything that I get for free because I got it for free.
Yeah. No, I feel like, and I kind of struggle with this. I do push affiliate sales, but I try not to push them to the point where it's just exhausting. And people are like, dude, this dude is just in it to get my money or whatever. Cause I'm not, but it's like, I look at it, which we've talked about it. If I can maybe sway someone one way or the other, and if they're going to purchase that based on a recommendation of mine, if they want to say thank you, they use mine, you know, my affiliate link, it's a little kickback for me. I totally see it, but I feel like there are so many people that are maybe in the affiliate game for maybe the wrong reasons. They're just pushing and pushing and pushing and jumping on every freaking affiliate thing they can get their hands on. It's like, and it just, I don't know, just kind of saturates it to the point where it's, you almost don't want to push it and seem like you're part of the problem, you know?
I agree. So, yeah. That's my big issue with it too.
Right. What equipment did you pick up during the holiday sales? Did you pick anything up, Kyle?
I didn't pick up anything, no. I've been like trying, really, really trying to not splurge on equipment. Now that like my gym is basically done and I don't need anything, so I'm really, really trying to not buy anything just for the sake of buying. So I've been largely like ignoring the sales, putting my blinders up, just like whatever, la la la, don't see you. And I haven't bought anything.
I wish I could say the same, buddy. So I didn't go crazy.
I've seen your gym, dude.
So like our interests are obviously similar in the sense that we both like gym equipment or whatever, but mine's geared more towards like the stuff you can buy and showing it off and then comparing contrasts and stuff like that. Because of that, I'm always looking at new things I can bring into the gym to basically show off to where people can see it and, you know, get ideas as to what it is. Did not need this, but I asked for a deadlift bar from Texas Power Bars.
Ooh, is that it? Yeah.
So that's going to be like, going back to the Christmas present, that's going to be what my wife is going to get me. I did not need a deadlift bar. I'm very well aware, but I'm like one of those that I've been in the game for a minute now and I don't have anything from Texas Power Bars. And I saw this as the prime opportunity to take advantage. Plus they ran a sale and it was like, it just made it easy for me. I've got something from Elite FTS coming that I haven't even talked about yet. So it dropped a few hundred bucks. So it was like, now is the time to get it. I picked up another power bar from Rogue Stainless Steel. Didn't really need it, but it was on sale and it was too good to pass up. That one was for me. I'm going to say that one was for me.
I think being friends with you and hearing all this stuff is even more of a motivation for me to
not to.
Don't be like this guy.
Yeah. No, other than that, I try my best to just like, I like to return on investment. If I can get something in here and put something out that's going to be worth watching, listening to, whatever, if I can get, you know, some good return on investment, then it's worth it for me to do it. And plus I'd always sell it in the future if I need to. Yeah. So, anyways.
Makes sense. The next one is, will you lift on Christmas Day?
Absolutely not.
I might. No, probably. I don't know, man. It's one of those things where it kind of depends on the day. Like I'm open to it. I'm not like, no way, not on a holiday, not for me. It's more like if we normally wake up early, do a bunch of presents, and then some point in the day, everybody's tired from waking up so early and they take a nap. And that would be like my time to come down to the gym and just really like, whoo, center, focus. Bang out like a nice session. So
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't say for sure whether or not it's going to happen, but I'm definitely open to it.
No, we're so busy on Christmas and that time that you're referring to where everyone's taking a nap. I'm like part of that group taking a nap. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it is, it's like go, go, go until it's, you know, nighttime. So that's, I'd like to, I like the idea of it, but realistically other things are happening. So it's not going to happen.
All right. What's your favorite Christmas movie?
Christmas movie, easy. Christmas Vacation. Love it.
Yeah.
Watch it multiple times throughout the year. Watch it a lot during the Christmas season.
Right.
So, so stupid. How about you?
It is. It's so stupid. It's so good. Yeah, I do love it. My family doesn't love it, so I don't get to watch it as much as like some of the other classics. Like we watch Elf every year. We watch both Home Alones every year. What else? Those are like the main ones. And then if I'm lucky, I'll like squeeze it in while we're putting up decorations or something. But generally, nobody's watching. Nobody's paying attention. I'm just like cracking up like, on my own. I used to really like to watch Christmas Story too. But it's another one that my family basically vetoes. And then I don't know if I've talked about it before, but like when I'm on my own, I'm not watching TV and movies and stuff. Right. Like I'm usually doing work or editing or something. Like I don't sit around and watch TV. So I just don't watch it on my own. So if my family doesn't want to watch stuff, I don't get to watch it.
Yeah. No, that's you said Elf. I actually sat down with my daughter and watched it a few nights back. I don't like that movie, man.
Oh,
I know,
dude,
I'm in the minority. I know this, but I just
wrong about that.
I don't know what it is about it. I love Will Ferrell, and on paper, I should like it. I just don't, man. Ugh. And then same with Christmas Story. I like the movie, but there's something about it that just makes me sad. Like, I don't know if it's the air or the way it's just, it's so simplistic compared to other like elaborate holiday movies, but it's just, it gives a sadness to me. And I always feel like depressed when I'm done watching it. I don't feel like full of, you know, glee and just holiday, just, I just don't, I feel sad. I don't know what it is.
That's weird. I think I feel more of a connection with it now that I live in Indiana and it takes place in Indiana. It was shot in Ohio, but it takes place in Indiana. So like, I ever since I moved to Indiana and I found that out, I was like, yeah, this is it. Like, I totally, you know, vibe with this movie, but my whole family's like, that movie sucks. So I don't get to watch it.
Did you watch the second one? Did you watch the, not the second one. Let me go back. Not the second one, because that was horrible. The most recent one that's on HBO, Christmas Story. It's worth watching. They brought back the original cast. It's got that vibe.
I don't.
Your family's going to hate it.
My family wouldn't go for it. And I don't watch stuff on my own, generally. Yeah. I mean, I can. I do. Like, during Halloween season, I watched all the Halloween movies. So, I mean, I guess I can. I just got to make time for it.
Yeah. Make time for that one. That one, I think you'll like it. It's a nice throwback to the original.
Do you try to watch calories during the holidays or YOLO?
Dude, I don't watch calories not during the holidays. I've never watched them. YOLO, 100%.
Yeah, same. I don't know. Calorie counting is so, like, it's just so time-consuming. And being people who are like, you know, we have families, we're constantly short on time. Like it's hard to carve out time to like consistently work out. And like the times that I have counted calories, it's just like, it's such a drain and you gotta neglect something else in order to watch the calories.
Right. So absolutely.
Nah, man. Yep. Always YOLO. I mean, I generally try to eat healthy and some times of the year it's harder to do that than other times. This is probably one of those times where it's harder, but
yeah.
Whatever, man. We're still young enough to wear like it's not going to kill us, hopefully. Knock on wood again.
Hey-o.
Yo. Yeah, what about you?
I don't ever, like, hardly. I mean, I'm like sensible when I want to be about what I'm eating. I mean, I know if I'm eating a whole pizza over here and I'm washing it down with a whole soda over here, I know I consumed a piss ton of calories and I need to be sensible, you know what I mean, going forward. So, but as far as like actually keeping a journal and all that stuff, that's for the birds, at least for me. Hats off to anyone that does it. That's not me though.
Dude, if there was a way for like, because they have apps that track that stuff, if there was like some sort of sensor in the Coke can, right? So when you drink that Coke, it's like bing, 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 bing. Or there's a sensor on that burger. Oh, you're eating a burger. Bing, 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 bing.
Get it
and
installed then you didn't in your have roof to of your like, mouth or something, man. Just anything that goes in, it's just like bar scanning, barcode scanning.
If there was a way to make it easy, I would do it. But as it stands right now, it takes way too much time. And Nobody got time for that. I mean, some people do, you know, 20 somethings that are like, I'm going to be ripped. I got all day to count calories. Sure. Yeah. But like when you have a family and you're working a job and all that, nah, yeah. dog, it's just not going to happen.
Yep. No, it's, I think it definitely does. It falls back to priorities and whatever you mm-hmm. prioritize. If you want to make time for it, you can definitely do it. It's definitely plausible. It's not on my list of priorities. It's not high right. up there at all. So
yeah,
maybe one day.
So kind of along the same lines as that, how do you mm-hmm. guys manage life and the holidays and training?
One day at a time. Yeah. No, it's just things get crazier during the holidays, and it's just you kind of plan accordingly. Like if you're set to work out at these specific times, but you've got things going on, then you just kind of shift things around. And I mean, you may have to skip a time or two depending on what happens and then make up for it later, whatever. It's just, I find it's better to not be so structured to the point where you're going to be disappointed if you lose something, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, it's like you miss one workout, you didn't like lose all of your gains. I mean, let's be right. real. So
yeah.
Flexibility during the holiday, that's probably my biggest, like be a little more flexible and lenient.
Yeah. So my answer to this, at least this year, I'm like struggling with motivation, to be completely honest. Like I've had a lot of mornings where like I'm typically a morning workout person, but I've had mm-hmm. so many mornings lately where I'm just like, I could wake up and work out or I can sleep in, and I just sleep in. And yeah. like, it's weird because I've been doing this for going on like 3.5-4 years now, and I haven't hit this kind of like rut where I'm just like struggling. So one thing that's actually helping me out this year is I had this guy that offered to give me free personal training, this mm-hmm. Romanian dude. And I got to send him videos every mm-hmm. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of my lifts. And if I don't send him the videos, I mean, he's Romanian. Who knows what's going to happen, man? No, he's a super cool dude. Uh-huh. But having somebody there that's just like pushing me and motivating me,
right?
And like, who will seriously be disappointed if I don't? Like, yeah. that's what's gotten me through. Okay, update on adapters, compatibility with Vendetta and other trolley arms, etc.
I got this one. So, okay. No, I'm joking.
I was like, dang, bro, go for it. I'm tired of answering this question. No, so Jimpin got a lot of orders in. Like, we got more pre-orders than we expected, which is awesome.
Oh,
but
nice.
it also sort of pushes the timeline back a little bit because everything right. takes a little longer when you're making more. Mm-hmm. The first set of pre-orders have shipped out. People are receiving them. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. The next wave of pre-orders are going to go out very soon. They are prototyping the Rogue 1.0s. I think the prototype is done. I've seen a picture of it. And then Rep and Titan X3 prototypes are being made right now. Mm-hmm. And then once those are made and we've tested them, then pre-orders are going to be happening, and then they'll ship out in like 4 to 6 weeks. So nice. It's a lot of moving parts right now. Everything's sort of like in a different stage of the process, mm-hmm. but everything is currently being worked on. So I would say Rep and Titan will be available to order in January. Frey and Bells of Steel probably be in February. In terms of compatibility with Vendetta, I'm mm-hmm. waiting on Britton to send me a pair of his adapters that work with the 2.0s. He told me he's got them at the machine shop, so that should be happening, I want to say, before the end of the year. But,
okay, cool.
You know, a lot of variables, so I don't want to put any pressure on Britton. I know that he's working hard to get everything right. done. So, yeah, we're waiting. I have a guy that lives near me, the Muscle Wizard. He's got a pair of the Vendetta adapters. But mm-hmm. he doesn't have Rogue trolley arms. So like,
oh,
it's
gotcha.
So close, but like, we just need two things that work together in order to prove right. that they work together. And we don't have those yet. So
gotcha.
Yeah, we'll be updating that as soon as something happens.
Okay, cool. All right, Cal, final question for you here. All the right. wood creations that you do you later do them in metal and then sell them?
That's a great question. And prior to like the last 6 months, the answer would be no, I mm-hmm. haven't. I would be interested, but the process of me like taking on fabrication, mm-hmm. manufacturing, distribution, like no way, I got enough on my plate. But I have been partnering with manufacturers lately, and so I do have some projects in the works. Recently, I was contacted by Fringe Sport, which is super awesome because I've been a fan of Fringe for a long time. And I started having conversations with the CEO, Peter, and we're working on a product. It's super exciting. Like, it's progressing really fast. Can't share too many details about it other than I'm super stoked.
Share the details,
Kyle. It is a product that is based on a DIY that I have done sometime within my last year and a half.
Nice.
It's really cool, super accessible, universal. I think that people who are looking for this specific product are really going to like it. And that's about all I can share.
Yeah.
We are moving fast in the process. We're getting a prototype sent next week. It's going to Fringe first. And then if they like it, they're going to send it to me so I can test it out and give feedback.
Awesome.
And then hopefully they'll be taking orders for this product in January.
Yeah, I like that you're doing this with Fringe. I've known about Fringe for a while. They recently started following me. So that was like, oh, so freaking cool.
Yeah.
I love that. And then seeing that dude, Ben in Plates, the Peter guy, I was like, this dude is a wild man. I love this. And then there you are, your partner with him. I was like, this is good. It makes me want to come up with something and, you know what I mean, get involved in this guy. So, but anyways, like it. I know about the I think it's going to be awesome. I think, yeah, it's good for sure.
One other thing I'll say about this, and I'm not saying this to be braggy, but since I posted the video that went sort of viral about the adapters and I asked the question, who should I partner with to make these? I've been contacted by a lot of manufacturers, big and small. I've had conversations with a ton of companies, pretty much everybody but Rogue for some reason and Sorinex, whatever, bro. But I've talked to a whole lot of companies that, like, you know, ask me a year and a half ago and I'd be like, no way I'm freaking talking to that guy. So it's been a really cool process. I've had a lot of people offer to work with me and I've been sorting through all of that. Like, I want to be careful what projects I take on and who I work with.
Right.
So, I'm sort of taking it slow and, everything that's happening is really exciting. And within the next 6 months, there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff that I can finally, like, come out and talk about. But for now I have to keep it under wraps.
Awesome. Yeah, that's good, man. Yeah, that's awesome. That's exciting for sure. So next year is going to be your year, Kyle. I can feel it.
I hope so, because I'm tired of doing this podcast with you, man. I need something that actually takes off.
I know what you mean, buddy. Likewise.
Just kidding. I love doing this with you, Matt. Oh, hey, I know that's it for questions, but since we're talking about products and making products and being a part of products, you were recently, like a guy that did a thing.
I got a couple of irons in the fire that I'm super stoked about. I did something. I liked it a lot. I got with someone. He saw the vision and we've come up with something. I'm being so vague about this. This is ridiculous.
It sounds like you're telling a fish story, man. I need specifics.
Anyways, he's going to be shipping me the prototype. I'm hoping this week I'll have it in hand. I don't know if I'm going to tease it yet because I know there's going to be some tweaks and stuff. And mainly I don't want someone to rip me off, but the minute it happens. But I've got something in the works, a product in my mind that I'm super excited about. And I'm also, this is something that's already been released, the going back to Jason, man who parks in gym. So the whole mod bar thing with Bear Steel, have you seen it? We talked about it.
It's awesome, dude.
I'm such a tiny part of that. I'm not going to say, like, oh, yeah, he's got me listed as a co-developer, and I greatly appreciate that. That's more than I ever could have asked for. But that is such a cool product, and I don't know. It's such a cool one. I'm glad to be a part of that one. So, it's just, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. Jeff, definitely check it out if you're in the market for a lap bar, I guess.
Check out the mod bar.
I'm going to be doing a lot of content on it, so there's really no point in me, like, going into detail about what it does and stuff. Just keep following, and if you like it, buy one, support them, and there you go.
American-made, high quality. Yep. You really can't go wrong.
Honestly, yeah.
Cool, bro. Well, sounds like that about does it, unless you have any final burning questions for me.
I got nothing.
All right, cool. Well, let's wrap it up. It's good chatting with you. Yeah, I'm starting to get cold down here. My furnace has been off for like 45 minutes, so I'm ready to hop off this call and get warmed up.
All right, Kyle. Well, as always, enjoy it, and you have a happy holiday. Happy holidays. Happy holidays to you.